And now, Don Blackwell.
A woman who was very ill after a time of hospitalization finally returned home but was confined to her bed. Her 8-year-old daughter was not, however, aware of the terminal status of her illness. The little girl stood outside the bedroom door one afternoon as the doctor, along with her father, visited her mother. She overheard the doctor say, "Yes, ma'am, I will be frank with you. The time is not too far off. Before the last leaves have gone from the trees, you will die." The little girl's presence, however, was not detected. Sometime later, the father came down to the breakfast table to find that his little girl was not there as he had expected her to be. After searching for some time, he found her in the front yard, and his heart was broken as he watched her picking up leaves that had begun to fall. She was using thread to tie them back onto the limbs of the trees. You see, this little girl was doing something that we know cannot be done, and that is trying to stop death. It's going to happen to all of us. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." We cannot stop death. Recently, I was driving in the area in which I live, and I saw a car on the other side of the road hit the median and turn over on its top and slide a long distance. I had later learned that the person who was involved in this accident was killed. And I thought a lot about that and considered the fact that no doubt that person left home that morning expecting it to be a day just like any other day. But you see, before the day was over, something unexpected had happened and taken their life. Think about that. That could happen to any of us at any time. We begin our day expecting it to be a day just like any other, but before the day is over, we will be meeting our eternity. You see, at that moment when we die, our soul leaves our body. The body is dead, but we are still there, because the part of me that is me is my soul. This body is just a temporary dwelling place. I want you to consider this with me for a moment. The moment when the spirit leaves and the body is dead, what then? I understand from the Bible that at this moment we're going to see one of two things. We're either going to see angels or we're going to open our eyes to torment. In Luke chapter 16, the Bible tells us the story of two men, one who is identified as a rich man and the other as a beggar named Lazarus. I want to read this very briefly and then I want to make some considerations about it. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell," this is the word Hades, "in the Hadean realm, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, friends, as we think about this, here is an account of two men who died. One who was prepared and one who was not prepared. And as we consider our own death, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know how we're going to die. But we can know where we're going to be when we lift up our eyes after death. And most certainly it is the fact that at that point in time, nothing else will matter except where will I spend my eternity. And forever and ever and ever, nothing else will matter. Now, the reason I've introduced the lesson this way today is I want you to appreciate the importance of what we're discussing today and what we discussed in our previous lesson. In our lesson today, we're talking about the question, is my parents' faith enough for me? And the way that this ties into the introduction of the lesson is that my faith translates into my eternity. If my faith is wrong, I'm not prepared for eternity. I'm going to be in the same situation as the rich man. If my faith is wrong, then when I die, I will lift up my eyes, being in torment. Now, when I consider the seriousness of this and the consequences of being wrong, I need to ask myself the question, am I content to inherit my faith? Some people have made statements like, if it's good enough for my mom and my daddy, then it's good enough for me. But is that really true? Is it really true that my parents' faith is good enough for me? And the answer to that question is, no, it is not. In our last lesson, we began discussing this, and we want to continue the lesson today, pointing out why my parents' faith is not good enough for me. Now, the first point that we gave to answer this question is, my parents' faith is not enough for me because my parents are not the standard by which I will be judged. Ezekiel 18:20 tells us, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The Bible tells us that we will not be judged according to the merits of our parents on the day of judgment. John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so, if I'm going to be judged by the Bible, my parents' faith is not enough for me. It's not the standard. Number two, my parents' faith is not enough for me because parents are fallible. Parents oftentimes make mistakes. And the Bible gives many examples of this. We talked last week about good King Asa. The Bible says Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But if you go back and look at the family history of Asa, we learn that his daddy was an evil man. His granddaddy was an evil man. His grandmother was an evil woman. In fact, was an idol worshiper. What if Asa had said, well, my parents' religion is good enough for me? Then he would have been wrong. His parents were fallible. In fact, they sinned against God in the things that they did. But the Bible says he did not walk in the footsteps of his parents and his family, but that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Number three, my parents' faith is not enough for me because parents can be fooled. And we pointed out the fact that the devil is working very diligently to fool us. That's why Matthew chapter 7 talks about wolves in sheep's clothing. That's why 1 John 4:1 warns us to try the spirits because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Number four, we pointed out that my parents' faith is not enough for me because family loyalty does not wash away sin. Many people think that family loyalty is one of the greatest things that a person can have. And some would even put family loyalty above loyalty to the Lord. But in Matthew 10:37, Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. But number five, I want us to notice that my parents' faith is not enough for me, regardless of how good and how sincere my parents may be. Some people will argue, but my parents are good, sincere people. I have oftentimes heard people say, my grandmother has got to be one of the most godly women who has ever lived. They'll say she's never told a lie. She won't cheat anyone. She's one of the finest people that I've ever known. And because of the good example of their grandmother or their mother, they just can't possibly accept that she could be wrong religiously. But you know, there are good, honest, and sincere people who are Buddhist, who are Muslims, who are Mormons, who are Jehovah's Witnesses, who are Catholics, and who make up all the various so-called Christian religions. And they all teach different things. They can't all be right. We need to remember that Jesus tells us that not everyone who saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he gives us a glimpse into the judgment day, in which he tells us, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Friends, there will be good people, teachers, preachers, sincere people, people who truly believe they were right, who will be lost on the day of judgment. And the Lord says there will be many of them, no doubt, many who were parents. My parents' faith cannot be enough for me when it comes to matters eternal. Number six, my parents' faith is not enough for me because my decision will not affect the eternity of my parents. I knew a man some years ago whose wife had died, and neither he nor his wife were Christians. After she died, he later learned the gospel. And he struggled in accepting the truth because in accepting it, he was admitting that his wife died in a lost condition. But he knew that he could not do anything about her situation, and so he obeyed the truth. And then he set about to convert his family and her family, those who were still alive, those that he could do something about. And he went to his wife's parents, and he taught them. But his wife's father did not want to accept the truth, because to accept it was to admit that his daughter was lost, and he just could not bring himself to accept it. Now, how does one deal with that? Well, it might be good to point out to that person that your daughter, being the good person that she was and the honest person that she was, if she had learned the truth as you have, she would have obeyed it, no doubt. It may be good to point out to this person that whether I obey it or not has no bearing on her eternity. If I choose not to obey it, it has no bearing upon her. If I choose to obey it, it has no bearing upon her. And it's good to remind the person, I am only accountable for myself. I have only my soul to worry about. And so, friends, because my decision does not affect the eternity of my parents, their faith is not enough for me. Number 7, I want you to consider this. Someone might say, but my parents are New Testament Christians. I grew up in the Church of Christ. I don't have anything to worry about. But that's not right either, because inherited faith is no good. You have to make it your own. You can't be a member of the Church of Christ just because your parents were and be pleasing to the Lord. You have to put it to the test. You have to study. You have to know the reasons. Why is it that one church is not just as good as another? That's what my parents believed is not an acceptable answer. Why is it that instrumental music and worship is wrong? That's what my parents believed is not an acceptable answer. Why is it that one must be baptized in order to be saved? Again, that's what my parents believed is not an acceptable answer. Sometimes children are raised in the church and don't know the reasons for what they believe, and that's why many are so easily pulled away. And that's why the church is suffering in many places. My parents' faith is not enough for me because I won't be judged by my parents, because parents are fallible. Parents can be fooled and are sometimes mistaken. Family loyalty does not wash away sin, and the Lord expects me to have my own faith.